We turn to the book of John. John chapter 16, verse 14. John 16, verse 14. We do a verse today. And I'll try to be as short as I can be, so that we can have some time for fellowship afterwards. And this is a continuation of our series we began. Today is the seventh time. Continuation of the series, the work of the Holy Spirit in church or in our lives today. So, the first time we did talk about this, we saw the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The second time we saw that He is a seal, is a mark, is a guarantee in lives of believers. The third time we saw that He comes and dwells within us, that the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. And the fourth, we saw that He is an helper, a comforter. The fifth, we saw that He is the Spirit of truth, and He leads us in all truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. And last time we saw Him being the witness, He witnessing about things of God, and we also being witness to the world. And today is about the Spirit giving glory to Christ. That is one of the work, if not the biggest work He does. He gives glory to Christ. Because, as we read, He shall glorify me, for He shall take of what is mine and declare it, and shall declare it to you. That is from King James, Old King James, Frederick's Bible. And then from New King James it says, He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. We see there's a word there, glorify or glory. We who are used to church have used this word many times. Almost all the songs, or like when we read, there is this word glorify. Everywhere we use it. And as the theme of our message is the Spirit glorifying Christ, I wanted to find out what it means to glorify. What is the definition of the word glorify? I found that it says to show His excellence, to show the excellence of somebody, to dignify, to honor, to praise, or to extol. To show the excellence of somebody. That's to glorify. Or to put the light into the standard which is above all other standards. Like to lift something higher. So that is the word glorify. So the Spirit of God does that work of showing Christ's excellence. And we want to see first the one who is possessing that glory which the Spirit shows. Of course, we know that He talks about Christ. He shows the excellence of Christ. He shows the virtues of Christ's essential being. He being a God, He being the Redeemer, He being the Savior, He being the person who lived on this earth without committing sin, He who lived in full obedience to the Father, He who obeyed the law, He who lived by standards no other person can ever attain. That is the one who possesses this glory, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can also see the work our Lord did on earth. We all know that He did wonderful work. He healed the sick. He provided food. He cared for His people. He was the greatest teacher. He was a divine person. He was God. And He did even the work of redeeming His people. We can see His splendor. We can see His beauty. The nature shows us who our God is. Even the Bible paints to us an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who He is. He is the one who possesses that glory. And the second thing is the one revealing this glory. We know by what we read when the Spirit says that He shall, we know who He is talking about. He talks about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's job is to bring light to the glory of Jesus Christ. He exposes the glory. He exposes Christ's excellence. He shows that He is above reproach. He is the man, a perfect man. He is a divine being. He is the Lord of glory. He is King of kings. And that is the work of the Spirit by revealing. We call Him Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, because He was sent by Christ. It is Christ's own Spirit, the one He sent. He sent Him because that was His duty. The motive He does that is because it is His duty. He came to fulfill all the promises Christ has made to His disciples or to all who will believe. There are many promises Christ has made. If we read Book of John, the last days, we see He gave promises after promises after promises and warning after warnings to His disciples. And without those, without the Spirit, those promises were not going to be of any gain or of any value. That's why He sent His Spirit to come and fulfill those promises in life of all those who were going to believe in Christ. He reveals Christ to the world. Without the Spirit of God, you and I wouldn't know Christ. It could have been only the 12 disciples or the 70s or those people of His time who saw Him. But because the Spirit of God came, He does His duty and He does it perfectly to reveal Christ to us. And we are the one who are viewing this glory. We believers, we see the glory of God. We who have come to faith, we who are still living, are the one viewing their glory, which the Spirit manifests or reveals to us. The Spirit reveals the excellence of Christ through Scriptures. When we read the Word of God, we discover things people outside, they don't understand. People can read this Bible for the rest of their life unless the Spirit of God opens their hearts, unless the Spirit of God opens their minds, unless the Spirit of God comes and reveals their understanding. They won't understand the treasures you find in that book, which you love much. I know that you love your Bibles more than many people out there. They don't love the Word of God. They hate it. And we see also this glory being revealed to us through the nature or creation. We who are believers, day after day, when we see creation, we praise God. We know that God has created this. We know that it has not come out of Big Bang or whatever they say, evolution or all those talks. We know that our God has created this world, and that gives glory to God. And now we're going to talk about how does He do this? How does He bring glory to Christ? How does He do it? The first point we're going to talk about is how does He bring glory to Christ in our lives, in sinners' life. You know, a sinner out there is lost, thinks of himself, or things of words around, but how does the Spirit bring glory to Christ? The first way he does, he takes us off the throne. He dethrones us. The Spirit of God takes us from the throne. We know that all of us, before we were Christians, we were all about ourselves. Everything was always about me, isn't it? Me, 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 me. What do I get? Everything is to involve around you. You think, you tend that to have the most high self-esteem. You thought you were king or queen. You thought the world was all about you. And there are many people out there who are still thinking the same way. It's all about what they can get. It's all about what is good about them or to them. And the work the Spirit does firstly in our lives by glorifying Christ, he dethrones us. He takes us off the throne because we don't belong there. Because we are just fooling ourselves by making our own thrones, thinking that we are there, we belong there, everyone has to worship us, everyone has to glorify us. He opens our eyes, he shows he shows us our inabilities, he shows us our worthlessness, he shows us that we can't save ourselves. The way he does it is by opening the law of God. He opens the law of God. He shows that we can't even fulfill one law of God. We are sinners. We are weak by nature. And he shows us that we are not who we think we are. People out there, especially in our society today, we know that everyone thinks of themselves. And our culture today supports that or even makes it even more. It's all about me, humanistic views. I have to have it better. I have to have it better. It's all about me. Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. And we are being made like we sit on the thrones. And you see what's happening today, becoming less and less of God. People don't want to talk about God. People want to save other people. The world has to have it better. The world has to have it better. And what happens is, we forget the one who made the world. Because he doesn't exist anymore. We are sitting on the throne. The one who deserves to be on the throne is not there in our lives. So Spirit of God reveals that to us. He reveals our own weaknesses. He reveals that we can't. We reveal that we are fooling ourselves. And what he does, he empties our minds. He empties us. When he empties our minds, he fills us with thoughts about Christ. We know that we are not on the throne anymore. We know that there is another king. We start looking for that king. The Spirit of God shows the abilities of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows us his excellencies. He shows us that he is the one who can save. He is the one who deserves to be sitting on the throne. He is the one who is king. He is the one who is the savior of the world, not us. When he does that, we begin to understand things of God. We start understanding the reason why we are saved, we are even existing. A couple of weeks ago, I was asking the guy I work with, why are you living? Why are you living? What is the reason why we are living? The guy was like, I don't know. And I asked him, why do you think your dog is leaving? He said, he does, you know. And then I told him that this dog doesn't have a soul. The dog will live, I don't know how many years, will die. But you have a soul. You have a mind. You are doing things the dog can't do. There must be a difference why the dog is living, why you are living. Have you thought of that, the reason why you are living? He said, no. I told him that you are living to worship God. You are living to glorify God. You are living to serve God. And he was like, yeah, but don't convert me. Don't convert me. I don't want to be converted. I said that I don't convert people. If I would try to convert you, which means I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I'm just telling you that think each day about why are you living? Why you are created as human being? Why you are not a dog or a fish? Think about it. So, Spirit of God opens our minds. He empties our foolishness. He takes us off the throne. He shows us, he reveals to us even the salvation which is in Christ. The plan God made, salvation is in Christ, and the need for that salvation. And when we understand that, we make a statement in our hearts, as John the Baptist did in the book of John 3:30, when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. We understand things in different ways. We see that God has to take the first place in our lives. Christ has to be put a place where he belongs, and we must decrease. And when we are in that position, when we understand the reality about man, the reality about God, and what is needed, we are hungry. We are looking for salvation. We are waiting to welcome Christ. We are desperate. We are hungry. We want to surrender because we know that there is a King. We know that there is the one who deserves the glory. There is the one we have to glorify. Not ourselves. There is the one who is excellent. There is the one who is the Savior of the world, and to him we must give glories and praises. When we realize that, it will be like we will be saying, Christ outside of me is my justification. And he being inside me, that is my sanctification. We are longing for him to be in our lives. We are looking for him to justify us. We are looking for him to sanctify us. We are looking for him so that we can serve him. We are looking for him so that we can glorify him. That is the work Spirit does in our lives. Have you met people who are not saved out there? They might be even in the church. They might be even in families, even at work. When you talk to them, you see everything has to be about themselves. They will come in the church. They want the church to change because of them. They want the music to change. They want even the language of the church to change. They want everything to change so that it suits them. But that is the opposite of the one who has tested the goodness of God. The one who is saved, who the Spirit has dethroned. When he comes to a church, he knows that there is a King. And to that King, I have to give glory. To that King, I have to give my respect. To that King, I have to worship. They are full aware of submission. They want to submit. Because it's not about them, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are promises in this very verse we read. There are three shalls, especially in King James. As it says, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of what is mine and shall declare it to you. There are three shalls. Those are promises of God. If we see in the Bible, there are promises God has made. As the Bible says, God who cannot lie. God who cannot lie. He has made promises. Sometimes we think our lives are not worthy. Sometimes we think that we can't achieve things because of our insecurity. Even though we are in Christ, even though we belong to Him, we still think of our own inabilities. The first shall is all about the Spirit of God takes out of Christ the power to believe in Christ and the power to succeed. You know, this journey we are in, if it was because of you and I, we wouldn't succeed. We wouldn't have power. We wouldn't be excited on this day to come and worship God. We have people from far away, Vasa or Karpere, Kawava, Kolbe, and Nukabe, even. I'm the one from closest. But if it was because of our own power, or because of our own hobby, we wouldn't have been here. But the Spirit of God, He is giving us all the power we need. He gives us, He takes out of Christ the love for Christ's word. He gives us even the success we need in this world as believers. That success, I'm not talking about money. It's not, because it always goes on the other side. When the Bible talks about success, there are people who always see money or good position and stuff. But for us to overcome the challenges of this world, we know as Christians we are not happy of the way things are going in the world. We see wickedness is arising. We see the laws are made to undermine Christianity. We see the devil with his agents are doing all they can to make Christians shut up, or to make even Christians confused. They don't know what is truth anymore. But the Spirit of God, as we have promises in the Bible, He shall sustain us. He shall give us the power to succeed. And if you are a believer on this day, remember that you are inseparable with Christ. You know, sometimes we think we are alone. Sometimes we think, oh, there are also some Christian churches who teach that you can lose your salvation. That means you are separated with Christ. But salvation, as we know, as we've been doing this series, the work of Spirit of God, we know that He is with us. We know that He dwells in us. We know that He is the seal. He is the guarantee until the day of redemption. I remember clearly when we read this from Ephesians, He said, until the day of redemption. And I remember me saying that doesn't say that until the day you commit the biggest sin. No. We are saved once for all, and we are inseparable with Christ. We see the promises here. He shall. He has a duty to do in our lives. He takes of what is Christ, of Christ, and teaches it to us, or show it to us, or declare it to us. Number three, if we are believers in Christ, everything Christ has is ours in spirit. Everything Christ has is ours in spirit. He says, "He shall take of what is mine and shall declare it to you." What is yours? What is Christ, the Spirit of God, shall declare it to you. That is another promise we have from God, that we have all the blessings, whatever is Christ, we have it in spirit. All the blessings, as it says in Ephesians 1:3, it says that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We have all these blessings. Sometimes, or most of the time, we think that we don't know much of the Bible. We think we don't know many things. We think that we can't. But He, the Spirit of God, shall declare, shall take all that is of Christ and shall declare it to us. We are not just alone. We are not just limited in our way, in the way that in what Christ can give us or Spirit of God can give us. He can give as He wants. We have all these blessings. I'm not talking about we know some movements outside there when they read the Word of God, they read that search people the kingdom of God and all shall be given to you. And that means all. And all for them, it means it's money. It means good positions or good husbands or good wives. Or it means the best cars. It means there's no... The journey we are in, it's mostly spiritual journey. Our home is in heaven. When we go to heaven, we won't have cars. When we go to heaven, we won't have nice clothes and nice suits. When we go to heaven, we will spend time with our bridegroom, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Spirit of God is busy making us, equipping us, so that when we meet Him, we will recognize Him, we will be like Him. It comes in my mind, the story, the Bible tells us in Genesis 24, when the servant is sent by Abraham to go and look for a wife for Isaac. Eleazar, but the Bible doesn't say his name, but we suppose it is Eleazar, who goes, his master sends him to go and look for a wife for his son Isaac. He goes into the desert, he takes the camels and all the animals, he goes there, he goes to the well of water, and when he saw Rebecca coming, he didn't talk about himself, he talked about his master's son. He talks about Isaac. He spoke about Isaac. The same way as Christians, we have to talk about the one who we belong to. We belong to Christ, and we have to talk more about Christ. As the Spirit of God doesn't glorify Himself, He glorifies Christ. We should always be that way, that we give glory to Christ. And the last point I want to make is, if you are a true believer, you are called to share with the Spirit. You are called to work with Him, to co-worker with the Spirit of God. We know, when He gives us these things, when He declares these things to us, as he says that he shall take of what is mine and declare it to you. Those things we are not just to keep them to ourselves. We are not just to get fat and big and we get the knowledge. We have to do as the Spirit does. He continues the word. He, each day, he does do the work of convicting the world of sin. He opens people's eyes. He glorifies Christ day after day. The same for us as well. We have the duty to co-work with him in the way that we can also share the gospel. We can be the witness in every situation we are in. We have the Spirit in us. He has done the work in us. He does the work in us. And we can't be ashamed. We can't be limited to what we can do or what we can tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have the character. We have to have the courage to also share the gospel to people or live a life which is worthy of who we claim to be. If you went to school to study to be an engineer, even by not saying to somebody, they will see the way you do things. You will be so interested in details. I have customers who are engineers, and they are the worst customers in that way, that when you go to them, they lack details. And me as a technician, I don't lack details. I lack that it's working. It's working, that's it. But you know that by talking to this guy, the question he asks, and so you know that he's a technician. And he is an engineer, because they are about details. When you meet somebody who is a preacher of Word of God, you won't talk to him for many hours without him to start talking about things of God. Because that is his duty, that's what his trend, that's what he burns for. The same way we have the Spirit of God in us, he takes things of Christ and declares them to us. We are full of knowledge of things of God. He feeds us time after time. And that is our challenge, that we co-work with him. We are co-workers, as the Bible says. We have to be co-working with the Spirit of God. There is cases where Spirit of God has been doing the work in the hearts of people. They've been awakened, or they've been awakened to the sinfulness, the need of repentance and stuff. We see them going to some so-called Christians, and the job is to put water to extinguish that fire. That desire dies because they say things which are opposite to what the Spirit of God is doing in the life of these people. People want to repent, want to know more about Christ. And you find these people, so-called Christians, they tell them, you are all right, you are fine, you are fine, it's fine, it's no problem. We shouldn't be that way. As Christians, we have the duty to represent the character of Christ, to be more like him, that the things the Spirit declares to us, we also declare it to others. We share with others. We are ready to explain the Word of God. It might be with few words. It might be with few Bible verses. But we have to say what we know. The Spirit is there to empower that word. The Bible talks about this verse, which I love much. in 1 Corinthians 10:31. In closing, it says, whatever you do, eating or drinking, do it to the glory of God. The Bible is using the most mundane things, the simple things we do every day, eating or drinking. It says, do it to the glory of God. That is the thing we do every day. And I know when Mr. was sick, maybe he couldn't drink. He was knocked out. But a normal person drinks and eats. The Bible comes to that point that do it for the glory of God or to the glory of God. We are called to glorify God. Spirit of God does the main work, which is to give glory to Christ. If we have that spirit in us, we have to duplicate, to show that we are duplicate of that. We do give glory to God. We know there are Christian movements out there. Oh, it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit. I remember during my old days, it was all about the Holy Spirit. We were Christians, but we were all about Holy Spirit. I don't remember many times me talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is totally wrong. That's totally wrong. Because we are glorifying the one we're not supposed to glorify. We're supposed to give glory to the one who sent him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God came to prepare the bride for the King. We have to do, he does the work as the servant who went to look for Rebecca. He went to prepare a bride for Isaac. And Spirit of God is preparing the bride for greatest Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not about him. It is about Christ. So if your Christianity is all about the Holy Spirit, it's about the Holy Spirit, you have to rethink. You have to think that the Spirit gives glory to Christ. So are we as well to give glory to Christ. Because we belong to him, when he saves us, we don't end up in the Holy Spirit. We end up in Christ. We end up in the Beloved. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He glorifies Christ. He shows Christ's excellency in our lives. And the more we see of this excellence of Christ, what do we do is we become the same. We give glory to Christ. Let us make it our purpose, or the reason why we live is to give glory to Christ, to glorify him in everything we do. At work, at home, when we are alone, let us ask ourselves, what is my chief end? What is my chief end? The Bible says, or the old catechism says, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let us do that way. As the Spirit does, so shall we do. Otherwise, we have a Christianity which is not complete. Otherwise, we have all our lives giving glory to the one who is not supposed to give that glory. Spirit of God was sent to prepare the bride and we are the bride, we are the church. And let us remember that Christianity is all about Christ. It's all about Christ. If you open your Bible and read prophecies and stuff, most of those things come pointing to Christ. Remember this. It's all about Christ. The Spirit glorifies Christ. Our lives, even doing the mundane things and basic things, let us do it for the glory of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful. Lord, we first want to apologize or ask for forgiveness because of our own lives, Lord. We've been living lives, giving glory to things or to people we're not supposed to give glory. Father, sometimes we are caught by in giving glory to ourselves or the creation. Or Father, not even knowing to whom we should give glory. We thank you that we have your word, which tells us, which reminds us, that your Spirit glorifies Christ. Father, we want to live our lives giving glory to Christ. We want to live our lives worshipping Him, contemplating His excellence. Father, knowing that He was a man above the standard. To Him we shall grieve, to Him we shall render all our praises. Help us, Lord, to remember in each day. Spirit of God, we pray that you will help us, remind us that your job, your duty, your function is to give glory to the one who sent you. I pray that you bless us. Pray that you protect us. You lead us. Father, for those who are still living lives glorifying themselves, lives worshipping themselves, or idols of this world, Lord, we pray that you have mercy on them. Lord, we pray that, as the words say, in wrath, remember mercy. Father, you will grant them the mind which understands things of God. Father, the souls will be willing, the souls will be open to receive the wisdom which comes from you. And for those who are in you, Father, but distracted by the denominations, errors, or the false teaching, Lord, we pray that you will open their eyes and you will point your eyes to Christ. Father, you will remind them that Christianity it is about one man, and that's the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.